It's time to link up for Is Missing That with Deputy Mayor Desley Simpson.
Morena Desley.
Morena. How are you this morning? You good?
Oh, yeah, we're good. We're loving life. We're excited for our long weekend.
Oh, I think we're all excited for our long weekend. Look, I've had a great week. It was hugely busy as per usual, but actually one of the fun things I did, which was really quite exciting, is welcome to Auckland a guy called Ledley King, who is an iconic footballer and part of Tottenham Hotspur. Now, this is a premier football league from the UK, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, they are bringing, he's bringing his team to New Zealand for a game in July at Eden Park. Now, why is this big, you say? Look, this is football big time. Auckland FC have done a great job in the city, establishing themselves as one of New Zealand's premier professional football teams, right? And they've built a huge fan base. They're drawing big crowds at Go Media, and they've really helped put football back on the map in our city. And I think what this match will do is actually give us a fabulous event in winter and a really good game for football fans at Eden Park in July. It's going to be awesome.
Lots going on in this city of ours.
And make money for our city.
Yeah, lots going on in this city of ours. I know a lot of people are looking forward to their long weekend. Although, you know, there's a lot on people's minds at the moment, considering the fuel crisis and everything. Mm-hmm. People are feeling a bit tight on the old wallet at the moment. But we're pushing on with a bunch of closures over Easter weekend, Anzac weekend, and in between with rail. And I'm curious as to whether there's been any consideration of pushing this back a little bit while people are becoming a bit more dependent on public transport.
Okay, so there's two things. First of all, I'll deal with the rail closures, right? CRL is desperately needed for the city. That's my opinion anyway. I think when we put rail, the CRL opens, that will make a huge difference to our city. And most people, certainly me, want to get it open as soon as possible, right? Because it will be a game changer for public transport for our city.
Mm.
But there's a whole lot of work that still needs to happen. You know, they need to absolutely keep testing that the trains are going to work. They need to do some more work on the tracks, on the stations. They've got continued construction out at Drury and Pirata, etc. They've got more pedestrian overbridges to complete. All that kind of stuff. And they need to use the rail corridor to do it, so they need to close it. When they're looking at when to close it, they look for the least possible disruptive time, right? And school holidays basically start today, which automatically means on the transport corridor, we always know when the school holidays are open, but the roads are often down in volume as well. So they have chosen the school holiday period and Anzac weekend because they know that is going to be the least disruptive for commuters, all right? So, but on the other hand, they're not leaving them without a transport option. They are putting on rail replacement buses, and they're going to add 60% more buses than they had in the January closure. So even though it is a lower period than normal, for want of a better word, Auckland Transport are really going to keep an eye on this. And they're going to watch that live movement of those buses. So they're going to be watching in real time. And if they need to change the buses or get move buses around, they will. But they've got an increase in buses. And I think that's really, really important. And they also got express options for both the Western and the Southern Line passages. So I think Auckland Transport are doing as good as they can to replace the rail during the closures, but the closures do need to happen.
Mm.
You talked about the actual, you know, cost of fuel at the moment, especially petrol and diesel. And look, that is a big issue. And public transport is absolutely a very positive, cost-effective way to get around our city. And we're seeing it in our numbers. You know, people are going back to public transport more than using their car because it's just based on cost. But, I mean, I haven't bought fuel for ages. I drive an EV. But I think it's something like if a medium-sized car has something like a 60-litre tank, right? And depending on what petrol is at the time, it's probably about $200 to fill up a medium-sized car. $200. Now, it's $50 maximum a week. So that's a month you could go on public transport to compare with about an average medium car tank of gas. So use public transport, absolutely. $50 maximum. That's the maximum you could possibly use.
Yeah.
You've got to have
Do you have faith that AT can deal with a sort of huge increase in pressure and demand for public transport and keep up in terms of providing enough buses, enough staff to keep up with the demand?
Yes, I do. I mean, we know that year on year, we're about 9% up on this time last year. So, you know, that's great. The majority of people who use public transport are using buses. I think on Monday they had about 79% of all public transport users were on bus, 16% on train. And actually, ironically, on Monday there was no increase on the train network year on year, but buses were up about 9% and ferries were up about 7%. So yes, I am absolutely confident that Auckland Transport can keep public transport moving in our city. And I'm absolutely saying to Aucklanders, if your car is costing too much for you, please look at public transport. But you will need to get the real discounts, to get the $50, you will need a hop card. I mean, any Aucklander that hasn't had a hop card almost needs their head read, right? I mean, they're $5 at max. At a vending machine, I think you can get them for $25, which is a $20 credit, $5 for the hop card. Online it's $10 and you can buy them in person at some dairies, not all. You've got to go online and just check where they are, but get a hop card, use public transport, it will save you money.
Yeah, aside from sort of encouraging individuals to make that choice, are we actually providing any sort of support, though, for people who are struggling to afford, you know, day-to-day living? Like, what can we do to make public transport a bit more accessible price-wise?
Well, I mean, I think $50 is pretty good, you know. We subsidise that. All ratepayers subsidise that fare cap. Look, public transport is funded in three ways. It's funded by Auckland Council, it's funded by the government under NZTA, and it's funded by fare box, what they call fare box recovery, or fares, and other revenue sources, right? And it's about, on average, a third, a third, a third. So a third comes from us, third comes from government, and a third comes from the fares.
Is the council in discussions with central government at all about further subsidising public transport for people during a fuel crisis?
Not at the moment, because I think we all believe that $50 a week maximum is pretty reasonable, all right?
But when the cost of living is continuing to increase, shouldn't that be something we talk about, you know, making those options a bit more accessible as life gets more expensive for people?
So I get your point, but if we drop that fare cap lower, someone's got to pay for it, right? So it's either us, all ratepayers, or all government, or taxpayers. There's no such thing as free, right? We've got to figure out who would pay that difference. But at the moment, I think we're sticking with the $50 because we know it's quite a reasonable cost. I mean, you can't even park for a day in Auckland sort of for under $20-something, you know, early morning. So it actually is really quite a good cost-effective option. But, girls, I'm going to tell you about another option. And if you work for a company that it's got more than 5 employees, we have a system, and it's called sort of Fair Share. And it's where companies themselves can subsidise their employees who use public transport. Now, the company has an option to subsidise that by 25%, 50%, or even 75%. So what happens is the company can sign up with Auckland Transport. Everybody who's got a hop card loads their card into the company, and the company is billed monthly, and they can see how each employee how much each employee has spent, and they get that subsidy. The employer can pay for that subsidy. So that's an option, and at the moment, I think it's about the end of March, we had about 87 companies signed up, and you know, it's really, you know, it increases public transport use by an average of about, I think, 30-something percent for the companies that offer it. And they see, you know, companies that offer a big subsidy, in other words, companies, big companies who pay a subsidy and help their public, help their employees come to work by public transport, they see over a 50% increase in public transport usage by their employees. So this is a way for companies to help their people to get to work as well. So there are, those are, you know, I think the fair cap by itself, but also the fair share. If you work for a company, talk to your boss about fair share. Google it, look it up, and see if your company would be prepared to help with a fair share system.
Mm. I didn't know about that. Thank you for that, Desley.
And your business only has to have 5 employees or more, okay. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We're going to chat a little bit about what the plan is surrounding the Avondale Racecourse. Horse racing is wrapping up in July. What's going on?
Well, this is really interesting. Avondale Racecourse is, of course, a pretty big site in central West Auckland. It's about, I think it's 35 hectares, which is like something like 2.5 times Eden Park, right? So it's a pretty big patch of green space. And as you quite rightly say, it's been used as a racing club, and it's scheduled to, you know, that's, you know, coming to an end. So we've got Auckland Council, that's we, have got a currently got a lease over part of the land for the provision of sort of 12 sports fields. But the jockey club itself, Avondale Jockey Club and the New Zealand Thoroughbred Racing, are working together on what future plans for that site would look like, all right? And there are discussions with them, but those discussions have indicated that they're really committed to support community outcomes as part of that future master planning for the land. So we're working through the FO local board. They, of course, have obviously got a strong, active and interest in the future of that racecourse land. And the board, the FO local board, has funded a business case to examine what community use, what community assets and services could be secured if that land was made available for community use. And that includes things like keeping the Sunday market there, which is well loved, recreational space, stormwater management to support biodiversity, all sorts of things, right? I think there's an area for pool and leisure as well. So we can't preempt the business case or the feasibility around that, but I think there's a real genuine desire to work constructively with the Jockey Club on shared goals around recognising that the land could support a number of outcomes needed by the community.
Mm. I mean, my understanding is that the Avondale community feels pretty strongly that this needs to stay a really community-oriented space. You know, the like you say, the Sunday market is a huge part of the culture in West Auckland.
Yeah.
But New Zealand Racing has been revealed to be in negotiations with housing developers. And now we've got sort of community campaigns coming out calling on Auckland Council to enter these negotiations and be a bit more involved. Where do you stand on this?
Look, I'm going to stand with the FO local board on this. I do believe, you know, I think all growing communities need community outcomes, and I know that they're working really, you know, passionately on it. I haven't seen the absolute detail, but I know that, as I said, I know that the FO local board are really pushing for those community outcomes. And look, it will be a balance. You know, on one hand, you've got a land owner that wants to get probably the biggest return back that they can get. On the other hand, you've got a community that acknowledges that community facilities are the key driver, you know, that makes all communities work really, really well. So I think the answer will be somewhere in the middle. But look, I think the FO local board's doing a really good job on the advocacy there.
Is there any world in which we can imagine the Auckland Council purchasing the park?
No one's actually put that offer straight bang on the table. But I suppose nothing's impossible, is it? You know? Let's wait and see.
Okay, We'll wait and see. Yeah, I know that there's a lot of people in Avondale and further afield who are hoping that the Auckland Council will potentially be a little bit more involved in the process here. So interested to see how this one unfolds.
Yeah, look, I do get that as well. But look, you know, our budgets are good. This is a terrible budget we've got this time. We've got a pretty high rates rise, and we'll be looking to cut costs to keep that as affordable as possible for Aucklanders. So, I mean, the timing couldn't be worse if I was really honest with you. But look, where there's a will, there's a way, and let's see what we can do.
Mm. Thank you very much for your time this morning, Desley.
Can I just say one more thing? I have spoken to the Easter Bunny, and I can guarantee you he has Aucklanders in his sights, and he will be visiting over the weekend. So,
cheers, Desley.
Maybe he visit your house.
Thank God, because I can't afford Easter eggs in this economy.
Thanks, Desley. Have a
Easter,
wonderful...
Could you ask the Easter Bunny if it will fill up my car with gas for me?
Oh, yeah, I'm not sure that it stretches to that.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Thank you, Desley. Have a great long weekend, eh? Ka kite.
Same to you guys. Bye-bye. Ka kite.
That was Is Missing That with Deputy Mayor Desley Simpson.